from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I really didn't think the NFL was really truly a possibility until this my 2023 season. You know, in the previous years, I felt like I had did all right. I felt that I probably didn't get noticed enough, but I just was playing ball. I think, you know, after the Florida game last season and even getting into our last couple games of the season at Kentucky, I think I just started to realize, okay, I think this is a possibility the way I've been playing and just the way I've been having fun playing ball again.
Bills rookie running back Ray Davis on with me yesterday. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Davis was nice to talk to, and there he's talking about his final college season at Kentucky, where he really took off. He said he went there after having been at Vanderbilt to get his swagger back and have fun, like he's talking about. And so I guess he was successful. One thing about Davis is he's, you know, frankly old for a rookie. I don't think it really matters. You know, he's got 3 years of college football where he was really productive and busy. But at 24, I'm not worried about like a post-rookie contract future for Ray Davis or anything like that. It's not like he'd be too old to play now and produce. He's just older than, you know, you might think is ideal for a rookie or what is typical. But I'm excited about the player. I've said a lot about him this summer. And if this week I ever gravitate toward like a bold predictions kind of conversation, we could even have that now if you've got one for me. Davis might be at the center of it. You know, whether he moves in on Cook or just what, like Sal saying just now a few minutes ago that he thinks he's the number two running back on the team. Everybody seems to think short yardage goal line stuff could be in his future. His pass blocking is pretty good. His pass catching is thought to be pretty good as far as I know. So I think he might be really important. Let's look for your calls again at 803-0550. The cuts throughout the day, some, you know, good news and bad with receivers. The Bills cut Tyrell Shavers. Just another opportunity, potential moment that you feel like, what are we doing at that position? Not because hopes were so high for him necessarily, but as I've been saying a lot today, I'm just waiting for there to be one guy that I really can trust. And even if it's somebody unknown like that, it seemed like the way people were talking, that was possible. Joe Andreessen making the club, that's a great story too. Let's go to Casey next. Hi, Casey.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me on there, Mike.
Of course.
Just going back, first of all, it's refreshing to hear you talk realistically about the Bills receiving core this year, because there is a huge hole there, and they really haven't addressed it. And then the other thing I wanted to touch on was the 10.5 wins. Like last year, 10.5 wins, they barely got there in must-win situations against an easy schedule. This year, the schedule's a lot harder. They have holes in the receiving core, and not to mention 7 defensive positions that were lost. So where are we coming up with this 10.5 wins? I don't understand how we can get back to that.
Well, you know, you're right on a lot of this stuff, but they've won so much, and Allen is so good that this team is going to get that level of respect. I don't think it's, you know, weird or anything like that. I think I'm looking for this now as you bring it up. One thing that has stood out to me, maybe you know this answer, Casey, if you're in the space, but how the money was really on the under. Like, people are sort of betting the way you sound, worried for, or, you know, pessimistic.
-160
Okay. Well, that says it.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a pretty big, you know, that's pretty big juice there for that kind of thing. So, I just think, like I've said for years, whether it's about Allen or other teams that have the great quarterbacks, your floor is kind of the middle, you know, around 500. Those are, you don't usually see great quarterbacks go 6-11 or something like that. So I would think for the Bills, you know, it's a good enough number where I'm not really into it either way. I definitely wouldn't bet the under at -160. I know that, but I kind of feel like that's where it lands. And you're right. Last year was right down to the last game.
Right down the last game. And like you said, you have Josh. A lot of times the Bills, you get it, you're in three and long situations. But whether it be Diggs or whoever contained last year, bail him out because Josh is running for his life. And I just don't know if this receiving corps, that will be the scenario this year, especially with the defense not being nearly as good as what it was last year.
Right. And that remains to be seen, you know, in fairness. But if it does go that way. Yeah, thanks, Casey. It's been interesting today. Like, I came out hot about the receivers. We've talked about them every day. And the caller is giving me a compliment for being realistic. I'm just trying to be right. And so, you know, the last guy I talked to thinks I'm way off. He probably thinks he's being realistic too, you know, thinking about some of the points he made, what Samuel could do, and maybe Coleman's talent, Kincaid, all of that. It really is one of the more interesting groups, rooms, situations in the entire league. And with a team that has been so close to winning and so successful, to just turn 180 degrees, or do you think it's less, from what they were at wide receiver to now? That really deserves a little bit more scrutiny. I mean, what were they? They were Diggs and Davis. That's what they were at wide receiver. They were Diggs. You want to separate them? They were Diggs, and then they were Davis. And then they were, last year, Deontay Hardy, Sherfield, and Shakir. And then you had the arrival of Kincaid, which really, that took its time in the beginning for almost three quarters of the season. He just was not really giving you anything meaningful in the passing game, just short stuff. So what was that receiver room? It was led by one of the 10 best receivers in the league at the time. I don't think I'd say top 10 anymore after last year, but if somebody calls in last summer and says Diggs is not top 10, I think I challenge that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've been all over the different circumstances and, you know, why somebody might think they had to do it, which they didn't literally do, but they must have felt like they did because of their making that move at such a cap penalty and, you know, the risk they're running with their team. So it's one thing to sort of just take your medicine, and because of all the conflict and stress, whatever else that they felt Diggs was sort of guilty of or that he was causing, they have just acted like, sure, they have. It's not that they haven't addressed it. They've addressed it like crazy, but they've done it, you know, kind of in the cheaper sections, you know, the cheaper stores. even maybe this is a step too far, but even Coleman, right? Like, okay, Diggs is gone. We knew that. So what are they going to do about it in a NFL draft thought to be loaded with receiver talent? Trade down twice and take the eighth guy off the board, which I can't criticize them for. I'm always for trading down, but it's not the aggressive sort of compliment to the Diggs move that I think most of us have thought all summer would eventually happen. It's the lack of aggressiveness. Might be smart this way, might work out this way, signing MVS and, you know, Claypool and giving KJ Hamler a look and all the different things. Could work out. It would feel better to me if there had been that one aggressive acquisition that wouldn't have so many people wondering what they've actually got. A number one, simply, is what I'm saying. Like an Ayuk, if he were to have been available, a number one. Who's the number one? If you wanted to be Kincaid, okay, but it's how I want to see it. I want to see it. I like the player. I want to see how they make that work, because I'm assuming they run the ball more. That means Knox is on the field. Other guys are best suited for the slot. How do they do it with Kincaid? Great if they're going to be unpredictable, but can they be efficient? Paul is next. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Mike. I'm just curious. I can't understand how Marcus Valdes-Scantling is not one of the first release. I heard nothing about him. I watched all the preseason games. What I heard about you guys talking about preseason games, No one was talking about him. Am I missing something here? Why is he not one of the cuts?
I think it might have, if it was close, Paul, it might have had to do with he got guaranteed money. That it's kind of rare. It's bad if you guarantee money in the offseason and then cut the guy before the season starts. They did it with O.J. Howard a couple of years ago, but it's not a great look. So
if we cut him, and he's going to get paid no matter what?
If you cut him, there's a cap penalty to it, or it's just, I don't know, the money comes off, whatever, one way or another, you know, it's not the same as cutting a guy who didn't get that. Like Claypool or somebody else would not have had the same sort of, you know, formula, if you will, when it came to that. I'm not sure. I mean, again, we have to see how they want to use him. He can get down the field. I don't know if you can count on him to catch the ball and, you know, do all the rest of it, but he's fast. And
maybe they're holding him back and not showing him preseason for a certain reason. I don't know. I know I haven't seen anything of him. That's what makes me so wonder what's going on.
No, that's a fair question. I just have thought that he would make it because of he's got that kind of status, the contract piece, and so many of the other guys really didn't or don't outrank him. MVS, that's part of it too. It's not like, I mean, you had other players here who have done more in the NFL. So maybe a little bit by default. I can't wait. The preseason, you want it to tell you something. I think usually the only thing it tells you is to go by who doesn't play. The guys who don't play are safe if they're not hurt. And whatever happens on the field is some attempt to get through it and evaluate while also not showing anything that other teams might learn from. And that's just the conundrum that is. I don't know. How we talk around here is we tend to try to ignore it and not fall for anything that happens in the preseason. It was interesting to me that Coleman didn't play against Carolina as a rookie because you'd want to get reps in for him. But the Bills thought, kind of spooked by all the injuries that had happened, all the starters, but also Keon Coleman, they were better off with him sitting out, they thought. Glenn is next. Hi, Glenn.
Yes, good afternoon, guys. First point, I was checking cuts earlier in the day and noticed that the Giants had released Isaiah Hodgins. Any interest do you feel in maybe the Bills reacquiring him?
Sal says no, so I'll say no. You know, Hodgins was kind of a cool idea for a minute with the Bills and did some things for the Giants. The Giants are done. The Giants do not have much after Neighbors at receiver, so for the Giants to be done, that's not a great sign.
Also, I understand caller's concerns with regards to the wide receiver position, but my main concern would be at safety. Now, has Micah Hyde actually closed the book on his career?
Not to my knowledge. We had Sean McDermott on last week, and he took a question about safety. They had injuries, and I'm not sure Hyde was mentioned. I don't remember a week later exactly what he said, but I remember thinking, like, there's just no even, like, sort of the basic, and don't forget about anything like that. So the best you're going to do there is he comes in late in the season because maybe somebody else gets hurt. That's not unprecedented. But I haven't heard of Hyde retiring or anything official or signing. 803-0550, cut down day in the NFL. I don't have the Bills' whole list yet, but we've had news all day and we've got a lot of, you know, complete lists from other teams. Stay with us here and find out as we go. This is Mike Shope here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.